Welcome to Claremont DD's first podcast. We are delighted you could join us today. We will be first hearing from our dear friend Rocky Arnett, who has been involved with Claremont DD almost all of his life. After Rocky's segment, we will learn about trauma and how having a self-care plan can assist you in your everyday life. Rachel Perlstein from Claremont DD presented this information at the June Training Connections Seminar, which we held at Mount Carmel Christian Church. Rachel's PowerPoint presentation is available on the podcast page of our website. That's claremontdd.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Well, I went to school, Wally, and I graduated in 1980, and I was 19 years old. My teacher was Gene Kalchak, and after that, when I graduated, I went to the workshop over Clearco.
Instead of working, what do you like to do?
Oh, go bowling.
Special Olympics is a big part of your life?
Yes. Now, this year, I'm in the on Monday Night League. Me and Connor and the other guys, we go to Jericho Lane. And
tell me about Connor. Who is that?
He's my favorite nephew.
Is he?
He's my
You're favorite. Telling everybody in your family that he's your favorite nephew.
Yep. He called me a loser sometimes.
Does he?
Yeah.
But Connor's out of school now, isn't he?
Yes, yeah. He is.
You guys get to do a lot of things together.
Yeah. He go to Camp Allen.
Okay. How old is Connor now?
He's 22. He's
very
22.
Cool.
Well, I'm the coach for Snapdragon.
Are you? With Snapdragons?
Yes. Yes. And a couple of weeks ago, they had a bit of a surprise for me. I didn't know nothing about this. And they had when I walk in, they had a big sign that said, Coach Rocky.
They must think you're pretty special.
Yeah.
I think everybody thinks you're pretty special.
And so we didn't win no games. I'm going to coach again this year again.
Some people say that you're the mayor of Bethel. Is that true?
No.
You just know everybody in town,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. We got this one girl. She's from Russell Brown. He said, Russell Brown rules.
And you say?
I say, Bethel rules.
I know. You've always been a standard at a lot of the games and cheering everybody on. And I know everybody appreciates you and everybody loves you.
Yeah,
and
sure do.
So do we at Claremont DD. You're always a good spokesperson for us and you always offer that. We never have to ask. So we appreciate that.
I help the church sometime. We do the community. I do the open. Sometimes I do open prayer, and I greet people to church. And
what church do you go to?
I go to over here at Church of Christ out there.
Well, thanks for sharing just a little bit of your life with us today.
Thank you.
We had a great time recording with Rocky. That was from a couple of months ago. And now, here's information about trauma and self-care plans presented by Rachel Perlstein, Behavior Support Coordinator for the Claremont County Board of Developmental Disabilities.
So we are going to start out this training with a community meeting. Heidi, are you familiar with community meetings? Because you may have come in. Okay. So we'll get to this in a minute, but these three questions are questions that at Claremont DD, we are certified in something called the Sanctuary Model, which is a trauma-informed way of doing business. It was actually an organizational change model. And, you know, when you first look at it, you think, oh, gosh, this is about trauma-informed care, and we're learning about trauma-informed care, which we are. It is a trauma-informed care methodology for doing business. So we apply all of the Sanctuary Model concepts to people we support and ourselves. And not just that, but our organization as a structure. And so that's what that's what we strive to do. Mm-hmm. It's a constant sort of learning experience, and it's something that, it's sort of like Maslow's self-actualization. Mm-hmm. We'd like to get there, right? We'd like to get to that peak where we are actually practicing true trauma-informed care and trauma-responsive care within our agency and beyond our borders. So, there are three questions we ask. How are you feeling? what is your goal for our time together and how you're feeling and what your goal for our time together are two different things. These are all separate questions. And who will help you if you need help today? All right? Not necessarily who will help you if you need help here, but who will help you if you need help today? Okay, why do we do this? Any ideas? Some of you know. Some of you could give me ideas. Why do we ask these three questions? We do this every single morning at our agencies, at our agency in different departments. We gather in a room, we sit around a table, and we ask each other these questions. Why do we do that?
Because we're connected, we're connected, and we're working towards the same thing together.
Yep. So we can actually connect with each other, see each other, talk to each other in the morning before the rat race starts. And feel heard, yeah?
And I think it's an app, you know, makes you feel good.
Yeah, people are listening to me. I'm able, people are listening, people are hearing, I'm able to share, people are sharing.
It's kind of a, you know, we spend all day giving to other people and addressing their needs, and at this point, you know, it's somebody taking the time to ask about you and about
right.
your needs and how you are instead of just finding out what other people feel.
Right. And you're really listening. It's not, hey, how you doing today, Heidi? Good, good. Right? It's
yeah.
not that. It's something different. You know? It's not something that, it's not the muscle memory that comes out of our mouths. It's a very, it's very intentional. I think that to promote our own self-care, we have to do things that are very intentional. And sometimes things that are hard. Right? I mean, sometimes we have to do things that are really hard because it takes effort. So, how are you feeling today? People who have trauma histories have a very difficult time expressing how they feel. And so, what we're really doing is practicing, because as a part of Sanctuary, we believe we all bring some sort of adversity. We have some sort of adversity in our lives that impact how we approach our lives and how we react to various stimuli in our world. And so, we believe we all experience that. So really practice. Every morning we're practicing, telling people how we feel, but we're also able to come out and say, and say it. So instead of sort of acting that feeling out, right, we are actually, so instead of snapping at Chanel because I'm really irritated, I come in the morning and she says, Rachel, how do you feel today? And I said, I am just really irritated today. What does that do for us? I get to state it instead of act it out, right? I'm giving the time to state it. But also, now Chanel knows. Now Chanel doesn't have to get on the triangle and go to Brenda later today and say, Rachel snapped at me today, and I'm telling you, this is the third time this week, and I am just going to jump down her throat, right?
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't happen because We just said it. We just stated it. And it was a safe place to state it. It's intentional. I want to know how you feel. You know, it's intentional and it's not about you. I'm feeling irritated today and I don't have to tell you why. Or I might. I mean, you know, when we sit around the table in the morning, it is really a time that people get to vent for. And it's 5-10 minutes out of our day. It's not a lot of time. You know, but I think it's helpful. So that's one thing. Two, what's your goal for our time together? Because people with trauma histories, which is all of us on some level, have a difficult time seeing a future. So you've been to those trainings with Mary and Sarah, Mary Vicario and Sarah Buffy, and there's a lot of talk about this predict, practice, plan thing. I mean, that's the whole reason behind that, right? It brings the future to the present, right? So what's your goal today? I know you are gonna, I'll tell you, my goal today is to sit in my office and get case notes done. That's what I'm gonna do today. I've got to get that done. Now people know, right, where I am and what I'm doing. So you come into my office and you interrupt me and I'm like, yeah, and I'm really short with you. You know, that's what I'm doing. So it's predictable to you, it's predictable to me. Also it helps me focus. I know what my plan is. This is my plan. Right? Well, accomplishing that plan is sometimes a problem. I'm not saying it's easy. But that's really what that's about. It's really about stating, this is what I'm going to accomplish. The stress is here, but I'm stating the goal. right? So I can see that future. Who will help if you need help? Same thing, asking for help is not an easy thing. So really thinking in your head ahead of time, who am I gonna ask for help? Where am I going? Who do I trust? Who do I feel safe with? We have these safety plans that, you've seen these, that all Claremont DD employees have. And it says, call my husband and check in, right? I might ask him for help, I don't know. Sometimes. I mean, that might be what I do, so. I like it. And some of us like it, and some of us have absolutely no interest in doing it. And that is also the reality. We don't make people do it, but we highly encourage people to come. We do it in all of our administrative meetings. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a lot going on at that table. So. And what's your goal for our time together? Also, I now know what you're looking for. So maybe I can talk about that a little bit. I now know what Brenda is hoping for, right? Maybe I can talk about that a little bit. So that helps me too, you know, because if you don't tell me what your goal is and then I'm totally off that track, you're feeling, again, unheard and misled. So, all right. Self-care planning helps build our resilience. And the Claremont County Board of DD uses a sanctuary model to create a trauma-informed culture, a belief that adversity is an inherent part of human life, and that many of the behaviors that lead people to care are directly related to those experiences, and that people and groups of people can heal from those experiences. It's a perspective that asks what happened to you rather than what's wrong with you when organizing goals and assessing strengths and challenges. We also have to be aware of what happened to us, right? I mean, you have to be aware of what happened to you. We often talk about trauma histories, and people are like, I don't have a trauma history. You know, I do not have a trauma history. Nothing happened to me, because what are people's perspectives on what a trauma history is?
An accident.
Right.
That comes
to
mind.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of people that are just saying, you know, something like physical abuse or mm-hmm. sexual abuse.
Yep.
Something
neglect.
Yeah.
I didn't get fed. I mean, those are some big deals. Violence, aggression in the home. Those are big things, you know? But it's not just that. It's not that. Those are really huge things. And those are the things that we understand the best. You know, we understand those a little bit better than some of those other things that happen to us. You know, that we don't think of as a trauma history, death, people who we've known for years moving away, a loss of support. I'll tell you, I see a lot of individuals, we have a couple of individuals involved with resilience who have complex medical histories, where they were in the hospital for months and months and months in the NICU, where they were, right? I mean, those are things that people don't think about also. When you go through those timelines, it's amazing, right? Because I refer someone to resilience and I think, oh, why did I do that? I don't know, maybe not. And then I look at then we put these timeline up on the wall and I'm like, holy cow, and none of it maybe old. Sometimes there's no abuse, neglect, and terrible car accident, right?
Right.
I mean, sometimes
right.
It's a lot of other little things or a lot of just other big things, you know, that we don't think about. So,
and it could be somebody in your, oh, I'm sorry,
yes.
Go ahead.
So that's true of us too.
You know, I come here to the cause of suicide, and I have families that are very overwhelmed. But when I think about this, I think of myself also, because it's been 26 years since my granddaughter was in a really bad car wreck, and I take care of her. She's total care. And I still haven't gotten over it. You know, I still have that everyday trauma in my life.
And sometimes someone else's trauma will trigger that.
Yeah.
You're living every day to day, but yet somebody else thinks about that. You know, you're helping another family, and then all of a sudden, it's affected you. Yeah. And remembrance. So.
So there are just a lot of things, and we don't always think of those things.
Mm-mm.
You know, because it's just our life, right?
Right.
But it's not. It's all impacted us. It's all impacted the way we react and respond to things. And if we are not taking care of ourselves, right? And I know this is a big one for Chanel. Mm-hmm. If we are not taking care of ourselves, then intentionally taking care of ourselves, right? If there's anything I've learned from all of this, it's that you have to intentionally do things, mm-hmm. or you'll just curl up in a ball, yeah. right? So it all has to be very intentional. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do that, then we curl, then we sort of climb into that, what you're talking about, that experience that you'll, that becomes a part of your life, but not all of your life, and you will never forget, and it will never, you never get over any of it.
You don't ever get over it.